Hello, everyone, and thanks again for tuning in to another episode of FranCoach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of FranCoach and your podcast host. So congratulations, everyone. We have done it. We have made it to the end of yet another calendar year. In theory, that sounds amazing, but if you are like me and your age starts with number five, it's great, but also a tad bit depressing. But we've made it, so let's celebrate that. And I think it tends to be a good time to just kind of pause for a second and reflect on the year. What went well for us personally and professionally, all the different things. Did we accomplish our goals? Did we blow them out of the water? Did we totally forget something? And then kind of assess moving forward to 2024. Where are we? How do we feel? What do we want to make different next year, right? And not just what do we want to do, but how are we going to do it? So we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to kind of look backwards a little bit. I always am more of a forward person, but this is the time to kind of just take a moment and be very thankful for this podcast. I love it. It's been 3 years now, over 3 years now, and some of the amazing people we've had come on board to speak with us throughout the year. And I want to take a moment today to really just kind of highlight some of the fun that we had, some of the amazing people we had, things that we learned. We laughed, we cried, we had all of that. We had all of the emotions with this. And really our podcast is kind of broken into three different kind of segments, so to speak. So every now and then, you know, you guys get stuck with just me, and I am coming on to talk about a specific kind of micro topic in franchising. Again, our goal at FranCoach is very simple. We want to properly educate people on franchise ownership to determine if this is the path for them, okay? If so, then we're gonna, goal number two is really what's the absolute best thing out there for each person. But number one is just properly educate people. So there are some times we come on with small little topics in franchising, whether it's about our process or any aspect of it, to kind of help get you educated on. We also have our guests on from our partners, typically franchisors. We've had a couple kind of non-franchise partners on during the year and just amazing guests that we've been fortunate enough to have. And then the segment that I want to start with is, no offense to everybody else, this is my favorite. And we call it In Their Words. And it's cleverly titled because we're going to have FranCoach clients who've kind of gone through our process and become franchise owners, and we're going to hear from them in their words, see what I did, about them, their background, what got them even looking at this, their overall journey with it, which franchise, kind of all of the stuff. And so, and there's a handful of them that really started their journey right there where you are listening to this podcast. I mean, maybe not the exact spot that you are, but at least listening to this podcast. So I want to kind of take a moment to tune back to some of the guests, some of the great things that they talked about and that we were able to learn along the way. So here are a few moments from our In Their Words segments from 2023. Take a listen.
What were some of the things that really for you led to this being the best match?
The easiest answer to that is it literally just was the best match. That's the very easiest answer. The clues that made it feel as such is that it was most harmonious with my current life. It was most consistent with what I'm doing every day. I think you often say that in your podcast. What are you doing every day? And it fit. It literally fit into that. There's also during that discovery, you meet, and so every one of the franchisers I spoke with, loved them. Every one of them. Every one of them I like. I don't have a joke, but it reminded me of my wife and I watched all the Bachelors and Bachelorettes, and there was always that time you've never seen it where the guy's like, you know, yeah, this is all fun. And then all of a sudden he's down to four and he's like, oh, I don't know what to do. And it reminded me of that. I thought, oh my gosh, now I like this one. Today, this is the one that is the best because of the reason. So I did go back and forth through it. with Focal Point, it was, again, what I was doing already every day, what I'd been doing on the side as my side hustle since leaving the company. When we sold, that company gave me a job. I saw that term through and then moved on. So as a sign, I thought, well, I'm already kind of doing it. So I'll literally just be improving what I've been doing. And that should be an easy step in.
Yeah, Tim, I told you that, I think day one, I was like, you know, hey, I'm going to explore this until someone tells me no or a door shuts, because I'm assuming that's what's going to happen. But I'm the kind of guy where I at least need to peek inside that door. And you told me, you know, be prepared that you may never hear that, you know, no. So I think that'd be step number one, you know, reach out, engage Tim. For those that have maybe started down the process, you know, I would encourage them to remain in that seek to understand mode. I had a hard time accepting this myself. Tim will say it, you know, that it just becomes clear. And it really does, you know, but so remain objective, seek to understand, don't be in decision mode, trust the process, and it will become clear. But especially as things do become clear, and let's say you do narrow in on that one, and you're trying to make that decision to take the leap, you know, this is the tough part, right? I think there's a certain perspective of, look, you can't steer a parked car, right? So just kind of jump in.
Was there a particular moment where you remember really kind of feeling at peace with that imposter syndrome and maybe being like, and as you mentioned, almost a little, I don't know, a little intimidated of the opportunity? Was there a particular moment or anything that you recall that helped you kind of nod your head up and down and go, oh yeah, no, this is for me. I can see myself doing it.
Yeah, I think it's some of it is just the gradual process. But one of the distinctions that you brought out, which I think really helped me, was the idea of there's a difference between concerns and needing more clarity. And for me, as you know, those quote unquote concerns would come up, I would try to reframe that as, what more information do I need to know? What are some points of clarity that I need to pursue? And the more that I did that, the more I think it disarmed what I didn't know and my concern about what I didn't know. And it illuminated my path, if that makes sense. So I think once that concept was something that you presented to me, I think that took me on the path of really digging in and drilling into this, if it was something that I could do. And I realized that I've probably been doing it all my life, to be honest with you. I've done it in many different aspects of my work as a mentor and other things. So, the equipment is all there. It's just reframing it. So I don't know if there was an aha moment, but certainly that distinction that you gave me helped immensely.
As of today, I'm officially an owner of House Doctors. I finally got the wire transfer to go through for the franchise fee. So awesome. I've been doing a lot of the prep and everything, been working through the classes and got all the stuff lined up, and starting to get the vehicles, but officially, as of today, I now own a House Doctors franchise.
Awesome. So, number one, how's that feel to say that?
It's an awesome feeling. Definitely a little intimidating to see what's coming forward, but that's why we do it, right?
Yeah.
No one opens a business to be bored.
That's always like, I think busy is this annoying buzzword that people use, but it's like, I'd rather be busy than bored and broke, right? So definitely the case. And it should, like, always think, like, you got that excitement, and then there's just that little twinge of fear, like, what the heck am I doing? Or am I getting into all of kind of the unknown, right? So that's super good. But I think that's where just like your background lends itself so well to franchising in general, regardless of the brand, right? The military background, you kind of get it beat into your head, follow a plan or else, right? Work hard, figure stuff out, right? The leadership, the teamwork, being a pilot, again, as somebody that flies all the time, I really, really, really want to believe there's this like 1,000-point checklist that all these people are going through every time before we take off. You know how to follow a process, which is the number one thing. So, again, that piece, like if you, I think as a franchise owner, if you're always just kind of, you get to the point where you are and like, this is the one for me and you trust it, then just like buy in and trust everything in that system and keep doing what you know how to do, is follow that process and put forth the effort.
I was really interested in the franchise just because it's not completely starting from the ground up. You're not coming up with this extravagant idea and business plan and how everything exactly works just 100% on your own. There's a dedicated plan and strategy to this whole opening and running the business side of itself too. So that's what really kind of drew me to wanting, you know, looking at a franchise instead of just starting a business on my own.
Yeah.
And going from there.
Gotcha. And so if I were to look back, and don't quote me on this exactly, but it's September 2023 when we're doing this, you and I first talked spring of 2022, right? Maybe almost a year and a half ago when we first connected. And I think as we always tell people, timing is everything with this. So we kind of got chatted. What wasn't quite the right time for that, but I think one of the many reasons why I'm confident you're going to be successful as a franchise owner is like you are incredibly like diligent, driven to make things happen. We weren't ready then, and you just kept plugging away. And next thing I know, I'm like, who's this Chandler dude bugging me again, right? Back out of nowhere. So this wasn't one of those things where you just kind of like, hey, I'm bored on a long drive. Who, you know, what can I listen to? This was something that like, this has been on your mind for a while and really kept focusing on. So, which I think is super cool. And really, again, kudos to you for the persistence and the again, kind of like figuring stuff out, right? What would you share with somebody that's maybe out there that is listening to this, that isn't sure if this is the right path or what to do next? What would you kind of share with them?
I think my biggest piece of advice, honestly, is, you know, no one knows you better than yourself, right? If you're one of those people that has this compulsion to do more and to be better. I mean, honestly, it's narcissistic to say this, frankly, but when you just believe that you could do something better than other people, you're not seeing it to a standard that you probably could provide, or you just want to be somebody who can scale something and really start something incredible, you should definitely check something like this out. It's just a compulsion. I don't really know how to explain it other than that. I mean, I wake up every day and just kind of think to myself, like, how can I do this better? How can I be better at XYZ? And it's, I mean, you got off days. There are some days I think to myself, I'm like, can I do this? I mean, I'm human, right? Like, there are definitely some faults. But when you start having these conversations with people in this arena, whatever it ends up being for a franchise, you start talking with other people, business owners typically aren't smarter than you are. They're just people, right? You know, we're all human. We all have our defaults and things that aren't great about ourselves, but at the same time, we're all very special in our own way and we all have our own talents. So if you want to apply those and just do something more for yourself, I definitely think you should check this out. You do not have to commit to anything to give Tim a call and to figure out what could possibly work for you.
Hey everyone, I wanted to take a quick break from our podcast to tell you about our amazing friends at Entrepreneur. If you're looking to become a franchisee or simply learn more about business ownership, and guys, let's be honest, you're listening to the Franchising 101 podcast, so we know you have some interest in this. And I really encourage you to go to entrepreneur.com to check out all of their great content and resources. Seriously, Entrepreneur has everything, all the way from a bookstore to the best podcasts, webinars, and videos, plus information on upcoming events and the latest articles that seriously, they cover all aspects of franchising and business ownership. If you're having trouble deciding which franchise is right for you, start with Entrepreneur's renowned Franchise 500 ranking. For 45 years and counting now, Entrepreneur has been and continues to be the most widely recognized and respected authority in the franchise market. Digital and print subscriptions are available, so you never miss out on anything. So seriously, what are you waiting for? Go to entrepreneur.com right now and learn more.
That is so fun. And I mean that sincerely, because those are my favorite segments of the show, and just hearing those transformations and being able to have just a tiny little kind of ride along in somebody's journey towards franchise ownership and really kind of taking control of their life. So we also have a lot of partners that are franchisors. And again, we're partnered with over 600. So I'm no math major, but that's like 30 years of episodes if we did nothing but that. I don't know, don't quote me on that, but it's a lot anyway. So, and trying to really share the kind of range of franchises that are out there. Again, part of that properly educating people, it's not all McDonald's and Taco Bell and retail. Retail is really less than 50% of the portfolio of franchises we work with, right? And so, and then even within categories, there's such a wide range. We talk to people about this all the time, is you can have two franchises that look the exact same to the consumer, but they can be completely different behind the scenes in what they're all about, what they're looking for in an owner, training, support, culture, the whole deal. So, and franchising is all about finding the best fit for you. I don't care what the best fit is for your brothers, cousins, girlfriends, boyfriends, uncle. I care about what's best for you. Okay. So, understanding some of those differences and the nuances behind the scenes is really key. And so we had a bunch of people. And so this is the portion of the show. I want to give a quick little shout out to everybody. This is the Romper Room portion of the show. Again, my age starts at the number 5. So you don't know that reference, Google it. I got my little window mirror up here, and I'm going to rattle off all the people that came on with us this year from our partnership standpoint. So we had, deep breath for this, Wallaby Windows, Assisting Hands Home Care, Neighborly Brands, Horsepower, The Dog Wizard, Senior Helpers, Happiness Brands, ProLift Garage Doors, British Swim School, Focal Point Coaching, Zoom Drain, The Grot Medic, Buzz Brands, Image Studios, Gotcha Covered, Homefront Brands, Lawn Pride, Bio One, Beam Light Sauna, The Birthday Suit, and Power Brands, Bumble Roofing, Town Square, Gym Guys, Pure Green, Wow One Day Painting, and 5-Star Franchising. We had a couple non-franchisor guests, one of which is going to be back here just in a couple weeks, and that's Jason Pfeiffer from Entrepreneur Magazine. And we also had recently the amazing Madeline Zook, NetCertiv, and part of a huge thing called Franchise Master Series. Definitely check that out. And enjoy hosting every single person, even the ones that, quite frankly, I've known for a while, our brands we've worked with a lot. I'm coming away every single time learning something new about the brand and really the people. And kind of, I think even one thing that surprises people in franchising, and it's our guests, I always ask first question is like, what got them into, give them the story, how they got into franchising. And it's always fun because it's some like random dumb luck journey into this, myself included. So it's always fun to kind of take a listen. And thank you so much to all of our guests that came on.
So tell us a little bit about Scott and kind of how you even got into this crazy thing called franchising.
Sure. Thanks, Tim. So I've been lucky enough to spend my entire career in franchising. So I was 23 years old, right out of school, and a friend of mine who became a partner of mine, we opened 2 sub shops in St. Louis, Missouri. So I was a franchisee first at a very young age, learned a lot, learned how important the franchisee-franchisor relationship was through that experience. And that's what I enjoyed. And that ultimately is what has led me over the last 20 plus years now on the franchisor side to lead a number of brands, founded a couple of brands, founded a multi-branded franchisor called Outdoor Living Brands, and then now lucky enough to lead and serve as the CEO of Empower Brands. We as the franchisor, we're embarking upon an effort and initiative right now from a data and a technology standpoint that will allow us down the road to start to cross-promote and cross-sell, that will down the road will allow us to drive lead flow sales to our franchisees. As the footprint grows, as the number of brands grows, we believe that opportunity to cross promote and cross sell will grow as well. So we're huge proponents of networking and relationship building.
Franchising is a people business. So tell us a little bit about Jordan, and in particular, how in the heck did you get into this crazy world that is franchising?
Yeah, I would love to. So again, my name's Jordan Reed. I'm an Austinite, born and raised in Austin, Texas, where, you know, my franchising journey really began. I was initially a customer at my first company that I worked at, Restore Hyper Wellness. So I am a big runner. I've done a few half marathons and a few marathons, and part of my recovery was cryotherapy. Jim Donnelly, the CEO of Restore Hyper Wellness, was building a team and, you know, took a chance on me. Initially, I was doing campaign management on the marketing side and, you know, did that for about a year with them, after which transitioned onto the construction team and worked with the architects and the engineers on developing floor plans for the franchisees. And finally, my last position was franchise development for the last 2.5 years at my time there. And that really stuck. And luckily, I had learned a lot about the business and the inner workings of, you know, a franchise organization, especially an emerging brand. At the time, I was one of the first 7 employees. And Restore had about 12 locations. Today, they have, I believe, over 260 locations. And by the time I left my development, you know, stint with them, we had sold about 500 to 600 locations. So we were, you know, doing really well. And I was in an industry that I loved. So Beam is a perfect extension to continue this journey for health and wellness.
What's really interesting is that we have a lot of brands that focus in the restoration space. So it's conceivable to think that a Bio One owner, once they scale their business, could add one of our restoration type models as a complement or even just a referral source. As far as a Bio One go, we don't have a lot of multi-unit owners, not because it's impossible, just simply because this is a B2B model. You can scale it to, you know, a very solid revenue. And because we have high tickets and low margins, they have great earnings on it. So a lot of our franchise owners, unlike some retail type businesses where you have a restricted or exclusive territory, that's not present with Bio One. So really the sky is the limit in terms of scalability.
As you get things ramped up, you're going to be able to do the same thing for them. And just having that immediate, like, in community connection is something that also should really be huge for people when they're getting started with any Neighborly brand as well, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's a strategy. For people that are pretty familiar with franchising, Neighborly was known as the Dwyer Group from 1981 till just about 4 or 5 years ago, right? We rebranded to Neighborly about 4 or 5 years ago because the reality is no one had ever heard of the Dwyer Group. They had heard of the individual brand names. What we realize is we're making a pretty big mistake, right? By not cross-marketing all the different brands, all the different customers. So we rebranded to Neighborly. Since then, we came out with what are called Neighborly Hubs. So it's essentially corporate employees on the Neighborly side, right? They're called hub managers. They actively go out into all these different communities and they connect the owners with each other.
What's it going to look like? What's my content going to look like? My process, my brand? How am I going to go to market? Focal Point provides a framework for people that want to use those skills and get into this space, but not have to create everything from scratch. So we literally equip all of our coaches that want to work with business leaders and help them in their business. We equip them with what they need to go to market. We equip them with what they need to coach a business. We equip them from a support standpoint. So, you know, one of the great things about going into business for yourself is you get to be in business for yourself. You no longer have a boss. But sometimes that very same feeling is a little daunting, is you may feel like you are by yourself. And so one of the benefits of Focal Point is we provide a framework around support. So all of our coaches get mentorship, they get training and support ongoing so that they never have that lonely feeling in their business. So we've been doing this now for 20 years. I've been part of the Focal Point program for now 12 years and going. Just a great opportunity for people that want to utilize all of that executive experience and give it back into the corporate world.
So I've been in franchising for about 7 years now. I kind of fell into it, to be honest. After high school, I didn't go the college route. I went to cosmetology school. I did hair for a few years, decided that wasn't for me. And I moved to the big city of Atlanta and got my first corporate job at a small financial services firm. And I also went back to school. I wanted my marketing degree. So as I was about to graduate, I started applying to jobs and I happened to land a marketing job in franchising at a local or a franchisor based here. And from there, I just got into the development side pretty quickly and loved it and don't plan on leaving anytime soon.
Yeah, once it's like the mob. Once you're in, you don't get out. So I mean, a little less murder and extortion and those type of things. But no, I think it's cool. Almost everybody I've asked that question to, and I think one, maybe two people have had an answer that was like, one was born into it, like their father was in it, right? So he didn't have any choice. Like it was literally the family business, right? But everybody else, it's like, they fell into it. They stumbled into it.
I remember at the time I was feeling, you know, I'm like two steps away from bankruptcy and here she is pulling $20,000 cash out. And I could not believe my eyes. I just thought, I said, what are you doing to make money right now? Because everyone I knew during the recession was losing money and lots of it. And here she is thriving. She goes, Jace, I know you're struggling right now as like everyone else is, but my clientele, my business is stronger than ever. And she was the first person I spoke to during the recession that wasn't in dire straits. And I had been secretly kind of hunting in my mind for what does my next move look like? But I want to get out of automotive. I want to get into something stable, scalable. And this is where, you know, I landed on the salon suite concept, where what we do is we take large retail space and then we subdivide it into individual salons or studios that we then lease back to beauty professionals, like a hairstylist, barber, or a nail artist, or an esthetician. So it's a lot like WeWork or Office Evolution or any sort of executive office suite. But instead of office suites for startups, we build salon suites for beauty entrepreneurs. And so I got into this in 2010. I built my first location and it just was a massive success. And over the next 5 years, I built five more locations.
Hey everyone, I want to pause the show for a moment to spotlight one of our premier franchise partners, Superior Fence and Rail. If you're looking for a standout franchise opportunity that is dominating an in-demand niche, look no further than Superior Fence and Rail. As the first fence installation franchise in the United States, this brand boasts over 50 territories in 15 states and literally installs millions of feet of fence every single year. Superior Fence owners can jump into the business full-time from the start, but they can also start out as semi-absentee owners. You can begin with a single territory or build an empire by owning multiple territories. As part of the Empower brand suite of franchises, Superior Fence and Rail owners are equipped with unmatched support and proprietary technology that sets them apart from what amounts to be really very fragmented competition. Superior Fence also has numerous partnerships with well-known home improvement retailers that will provide products at a reduced cost, which helps increase your margins as an owner. Sounds pretty amazing, right? Well, if you'd like to learn more about becoming a Superior Fence and Rail owner, reach out to the Fran Coach team today so we can help create your better tomorrow.
And then we also had a few different things during the year on those little micro topics within franchising. And we had a couple this year that were driven by you, our listener, that wrote in, had some suggestions for things that we wanted to talk about. So greatly appreciate that. So do that again, franchising101podcast.net. Again, everything with us is .net. Don't go for the imitators that are trying to fake like they're us. That's not the case. So, but if you have something, send it in to us. And we're happy to do that. And trust me, I'm really happy to do that because we are, I don't know, 170 some episodes into this. So I have to come up with new topics. So if you help me out, Thank you for that. But we want to know what you're wondering, what your kind of your thoughts, curiosities, questions, concerns, whatever. Fire those at me. We'll definitely get those on this year, 2024.
It's almost like a weight comes off your shoulder when you start looking at franchising and going, oh, we're really focused on me. And what am I good at? What's my skill set, core values? I'm a smart dude. I can learn the intricacies of making a French fry, right? Especially when I don't have to do it all day long. So it brings into play all these other things, and it becomes just this like really like a weight off of your shoulders with this. Number one, first and foremost, like basically everything in franchising, there is not a one size fits all answer. This is an incredibly individualized and personalized process throughout all of it. So if anybody ever tells you there is one and only one answer to any question in franchising, they're either selling you something or they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Okay, so let's get that out of the way right off the bat. Then for most people who are coming from the corporate world, which is, let's be honest, the vast majority of people we talk to, is you got to turn off your corporate brain with pretty much this entire process. And as an example, when we talk about the spouse, whether they are ever going to be involved in the business, like spend 1 minute actually working in the business, this is the family business. It does involve them, and we need them and want them involved on this journey to some degree. Okay. And they are, more importantly, they are 100% welcome to be along for the ride the entire way, again, even if they're never going to work a minute in the business. Rob, tell us just briefly, like when we say validation calls, what is that? And from that candidate's perspective, what are they really looking for there?
Yeah, I think the validation step is probably one of the most important steps that a prospective franchisee can go through, because it's really, it's not me talking about the brand. I mean, I help sell the franchise, but it's actual owners that are doing the business, and they're not beholden to anyone other than, you know, wanting to support their brand. So it's actually them doing a favor to those looking to get in most cases. You know, you're looking for, and for us, I like to do the validation stage about halfway through our process. We want to get some education around what it is we're promising to support you with as far as, you know, guidance and coaching and setting, helping you get your business going. And I want to have all that out on the table first, so then they can take that learning, that understanding to validation. So then they can validate what they've heard from me.
Just a couple of things to think about is buying power. And we had maybe a couple months ago, we had the vice president of franchise development for Neighborly Brands, Pat Highland, on, and talking about some of the things within their systems, but the buying power. And like they'll talk about for theirs, and this is pretty common with service industries, like Neighborly, they get their vehicles, their franchise owners get the vehicles less expensive than a dealer does, straight from the manufacturer, right? So I'm going to start, you know, Tim's pool cleaning company, and I got to go buy a big old pickup truck. I'm going to the dealer. I'm getting whatever I can, you know, quote, negotiate from that dealer. If I'm part of a franchise system, I'm going to get that for less. I'm going to get it wrapped for less. I'm going to get the equipment for less because of the buying power. Even a small system is going to have buying power versus just going out and starting it yourself. If you're thinking of, always kind of use the example of, if I am starting Tim's sandwich shop, I make a mean ham sandwich. I know I can replicate this and I'm gonna get great customers. Where do I get the napkins from? I starting this myself, have to figure out where I'm getting that from. Is that a good price? Is it a good napkin or is it a piece of crap, right? I've got to figure all of that out. And then once I do, I've got to then, you know, I might have it for 6 months before I realize, man, I'm not getting as good a price as I could have. These really aren't very good, or I'm spending way too much money on, like, I got bounty when I should have great value, right? So job descriptions, just bam, here they are. You got three positions to hire for your new business. Here's position one, here's two, here's three, here's the descriptions. Great. Now what? Where do I post them? Aha, more franchisor support. Well, we like to post them, here in, you know, ZipRecruiter, in Indeed, in CareerBuilder, in Monster, in Glassdoor, on Facebook, wherever it might be, right? Those things, sometimes they're free, sometimes they're not. Guess what? If they're not, you're going to get them at a discount, a reduced fee, because you are part of that franchise system. The buying power, and we've talked about that a lot. Buying power is, I think, one of the hidden benefits of a franchisor. You are not paying sticker price for anything that you're going to do.
So people tend to think when they come into franchising that they need to have industry experience in the franchise. And the reality is that is not at all true. The kind of the little kind of half joke we always tell people is you could be the biggest slob on the planet and own a cleaning franchise. It's not your job to clean. They don't want you to be the doer. They want you to run the business. But what about passion? And this is something I literally saw somebody in franchising write an article about this not too long ago. Like, you have to start a business that you're passionate about. I'm like, no, you don't. It doesn't have to be, I love fitness. It is my life. It is everything I do. Therefore, I need to own a fitness, right? Again, could you? Yes. But what is that franchise looking for? In most cases, they're not looking for me to come in there and be, you know, the yoga instructor. And again, are there exceptions where people are the owners, are the doers? Of course there are. But for the most part, I'm the business owner. So yes, I need to have some understanding and some belief in fitness and the importance of it. But I don't need to be the instructor. I am hiring that person to do that. And if I am in there teaching 7 classes a day, who's doing everything else? Who's running the business? Who's doing the sales and the marketing? Who's the face of the business out in the community connecting?
What is royalty? Well, royalty is the fee you as a franchise owner are going to pay to the franchisor weekly, biweekly, monthly. At the most, it's going to be monthly. You're going to pay that basically forever as long as you are a franchise owner. It's going to be a percentage of your revenue, usually with, you know, 4 to 8%, somewhere in there. There's a little bit of a range with that. Most of the time, it's a percentage. Every now and then, it's going to be something that's up that as a flat fee. So right off the bat, you're like, whoa, what the crap? I'm the one out here doing all the work. I'm making the money. Now you want to cut. Yes, they do. So here is why. What's the purpose of royalties? Well, first off, the franchisor created this business. It is a business. They have built it up from absolutely nothing, from scratch, created it, tested it, trials, errors, tribulations, all of the things, got it to a point where the business was doing so well that they thought it could be replicated, right? And now I've turned this into a franchise. It is still at the heart of everything. In the core, this is a business. As a business, you are entitled and it is your right to make money. In fact, it's a pretty damn good idea to make money as a business owner, right? So those royalties are in part that franchisor's ability and right to make money. Yes, the franchisor has the right to make a profit off of that. They, again, created it and spent hundreds of thousands of dollars to get to this point. But it is how they are paying for everything else to support you as a franchise owner.
And again, we've got some cool new things coming up this year right out of the gate. We've got some fantastic guests already lined up. Again, early here, I think week 3 of January will be Jason Pfeiffer from Entrepreneur as they drop their franchise 500 list again. Always fun. So much information there from our dear friends over at Entrepreneur. So we're looking forward to that. And then as you sit there and kind of think through where you are now as you're in 2023, where you want to move forward to. And if you're listening to this podcast, there's some level of interest and curiosity in franchising, in franchise ownership. The number one reason people become a franchise owner is control. It is control over their life, their time, freedom, flexibility. Their work is creating their success. They're basically not working for somebody else. And then of course the money you make, the wealth, the equity that you build. When you quit that job or when they quit you, you don't sell that to the next person. You don't legacy that on to somebody in your family.
with your business you do. So if you're thinking about that, any level of curiosity, I highly recommend, again, reach out to us, francoach.net, franchising101podcast.net. Send us a message. There's never any fee for working with us. And again, everything with us is .net. When you schedule a call, you're going to get me, nobody else. Okay. I don't know if that's really a benefit, but at least you know you're in the right spot with that. And then a couple other things I just want to kind of share, like kind of on our end with you. This has been an amazing and frightening year all at the same time. Fran Coach started this over 9 years ago, and we have basically a little over doubled in size in 2023 with our team. We have now 6 coaches. We have 7 support people. That's actually going to increase by 3, 2 new coaches and another support person on the start of the year. We have helped and worked with clients that have started franchises, totaling almost 100 units of new franchises that our clients are launching based on the people we talked with in 2023. So just super cool to be able to expand the reach and get to connect with so many amazing people. So if you're thinking about this, again, just I promise it's not going to kill you to take 15 minutes to set up a call with us. Again, we're like Geico, 15 minutes, right? And I'll be slightly less annoying than the little lizard guy when we do this. But again, keep tuning in. Again, your feedback, your followings have been amazing. It's gotten us into top 50 category in podcasts on both Spotify and Apple this year. I haven't quite cracked that on my wife's Spotify yet, but everybody else loves this. So that's fantastic. So keep tuning in, but reach out to us, folks. And we're really here to help you. And our goal is to help educate you on franchise ownership, see if this is the right path for you, because perhaps maybe we could help you create your better tomorrow. Stay safe with the holidays. Happy New Year. And we will talk to you next year. Thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast, where our ultimate goal is to help educate you on all things franchising so you can create your better tomorrow.